The Christian faith is not boring.
Pastor Jonathan Fisk talking about his new book, Echo, Unbroken Truth Worth Repeating Again.
The Christian faith is so stunning and radical that it's amazing to me that we have our children sitting in pews and classrooms yawning and bored with it. And all I could do is say that we've got to figure out a way to repeat this thing, to echo it again, and really reawaken our imaginations to its truth.
Learn more about Echo by Pastor Jonathan Fisk at issuesetc.org. The verse itself is so very familiar that when you hear it, especially in the strains of a hymn like God Loved the World So That He Gave, you could almost, even without knowing the hymn, write at least the rest of the first stanza. It's based on John 3:16 and other passages as well. Sometimes when a hymn has such a strong association with a single passage, we might lose sight of the other things that it holds. And there's, of course, enough in John 3:16 to hold our attention for some time. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. on this Friday afternoon, May the 25th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be studying the hymn, God Loved the World So That He Gave, with Pastor Will Wheaton. He'll also be with us in the second hour of the program to conclude our series on the Athanasian Creed. Pastor Will Wheaton is Director of Worship and Chaplain of the International Center for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He hosts a radio show called Thy Strong Word, and he's author of the books Celebrating the Saints and Thank, Pray, Serve, and Obey, Recover the Joys of Piety. Pastor Wheaton, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hey, such a joy to be with you today, Todd.
This is one of those hymns that has such a strong association with the famous 1 John 3:16 that maybe we forget that it also could qualify as a baptismal hymn, couldn't it?
Yeah, I think we can only forget that or not see that connection if we forget the earlier part of John 3. You know, the great words that conclude John 3:16 is sort of the cap of John 3, 1 to 15, where Jesus had this discussion with Nicodemus where he proposes to him that, fellow, you need to be born from above or born anew, born again. And, of course, Nicodemus is perplexed by this, but Jesus clarifies by saying, no, you have to be born of water and of the Spirit to actually see the kingdom of God. And this is just blowing Nicodemus away, and Jesus very surprised that he is surprised. It's like, you know, you're a teacher of the Jews and you don't even know this stuff. And then he slips into some really fascinating Trinitarian language. We testify of what we know and what we've seen, and you do not receive our testimony. If we tell you of earthly things, how will you believe? If I tell you of heavenly things, no one has ascended into heaven, but the Son who came down from heaven, the Son. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him would have eternal life, for God so loved the world. So, I mean, that whole thing with John 3:16 is actually patched onto a very baptismal gospel. In fact, you might think of it as the summary of that baptismal passage in John, where he introduces that we need a new birth, and the new birth is by water and the Spirit. So, yeah, they actually tie together, and the hymn, of course, is going to tie them tightly together before we're through. We might also note that the hymn is also traditionally sung on Trinity Sunday, when the reading is John 1, verses 1 to 15. So the very context of baptism is the context in which it's being celebrated, where we were commanded, of course, to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
There are other scriptural connections in this hymn. What would you highlight of those?
Well, there's a ton of them, but I wonder, is it okay first to talk a little bit about the origin of the hymn?
Because
sure. this is fascinating. It's been, if you notice in the Lutheran service book, and in, I think, everyone up to this date, it's just been sort of listed as, well, you know, this is a time it appeared, and there's not any specific information about who the author was. But in the upcoming book that will be explaining the hymns of Lutheran service book, we do have a little further information about it. Johann Olearius was another one of these pastors who just couldn't help singing the gospel. And so he was court preacher in Halle and Weissenfels. He died about 1684. And he was very prolific, like a lot of these guys. He wrote an entire systematic theology on his own. He decided that the Bible needed a commentary, so he did a commentary on the entirety of the scriptures. And he worked on the absolute biggest hymnal of the period, the Geistliche Singekunst, published in Leipzig in 1671. The art of spiritual song, if you will. And that's where this hymn shows up in history for the first time. So the thought is he is probably the author of this hymn. And it is in a section dealing with the chief articles of the Christian faith. And you could see how they would want to take this hymn and just sort of stick it right there, because this is the heart of what we believe as Christian people. So we know a little bit about that. And real quickly, a word on the tune, because it has a great name. Okay, the name of the tune is St. Crispin. No one knows why it's called St. Crispin. We know that the composer named it that, and that's the name that the tune had in its first hymnal, the first hymnal it was published in. LV is the man who wrote the tune. But you can't hear Crispin and not think of St. Crispin's Day, October 25th. You think of the great speech in Shakespeare about, you know, whenever Crispin's Day comes along, people will stand on tiptoe to say, oh, were you alive in St. Crispin? So this beautiful name of the tune, I suspect, is named that because he probably finished it, pinned it on that day. It's just a guess, though. But now, you said scripture allusions. Oh, my goodness. They are all over the place. So the thing starts out, God loved the world so that he gave his only son, the lost, to save. I think this hymn is so amazing because it gets the so in the right place. You know, most English versions we will hear, like the King James we grew up with, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And the impression that that has given people is God loved the world so much that he gave his only son. And that's really missing what this hymn gets right and what the text actually says. It's much more like, this is how God loved the world. This is how he did it. He did it by giving his only son. The gift of the son is how he loves the world. So that's huge there. I think in the background are a couple of passages, even in the background of God so loved. Think about Psalm 145, verse 9. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. That's pretty universal in scope, pretty wide. And that's further unpacked in Wisdom, the Book of Wisdom in the Apocrypha, chapter 11, verses 24 and following. For you love all things that exist and loathe none of the things you have made. You spare all things, for they are truly yours, O Lord, who loves the living. The sign of this great love of God that's lifted up in John 3 is the sign of the gift of his son. If he gave us his son, what on earth is he going to be holding out on us? I think Paul has that in Romans 8. So the entirety of John's gospel points in that way. And then this hymn adds something from another place, right? His only son, the lost, to save. And when you have the language of lost, I really think we need to unpack the freight of that term, not hear it as a technical term like what we mean the unbelievers. No, hear it for what it says, the lost. Do you remember a time when you were little and you got lost? Do you remember anything about that? Did it ever happen to you?
Terrifying.
Yeah, it's terrifying. That is exactly the word, terrifying. My wife tells the story about being in the Y, registering our two oldest for some class when they were not in school yet. And because everybody's milling around the desk, the two lost sight of her. And she said, you know, I didn't lose sight of them. They lost sight of me. She goes, and it was so amazing to see these two little ones turn to each other and cling to each other and hold each other, but look around with those eyes really, really huge and welling up with tears. And where is mommy? Where is she? And then when they saw her, all the terror melts and they go, oh, we're not lost. We're found. You know, there she is. That finding of us is the gift that God gives in the Son. He's like the open door of home shining into our race. And when that light bathes you, you can breathe again. you can relax and you can run into it. I think that's the picture Isaiah opens up in chapter 60 of his prophecy about rise, shine, your light has come, the glory of the Lord has risen upon you, darkness covers the earth, deep darkness the people, but the Lord rises on you, his glory is seen upon you. Well, that's Jesus. He's that Lord. He's that glory. And he says of himself that he came to seek and to save the lost, to bring them home. So echoes of Luke 15, we'll have to get back to that again, with, you know, lost coin, lost sheep, lost sons, but all found, dead and is alive again, lost and is found. God loved the world so that he gave his only son, the lost, to save. And it's like John, when he moves on from that to, or the hymn writer moves on to that, so that all who would in him believe should everlasting life receive. John can't say that enough, right? This is John 3:16. Do you remember how John 3:15 ended? Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Then he says it again in 16. Verse 18, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. At the end of chapter 3, same thing. And throughout the gospel, all the way up to the grand, and at the end of the chapter 20, these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have eternal life. So this lifting up of believing and of eternal life. And we need to ask ourselves, so, you know, what is this thing that's at the heart of John 3:16? What is this eternal life? Because, I mean, I think it's a whole lot more than just extension throughout time forever. I don't think that begins to get at what he's offering here. And that's why I think we need to go to Luke 15. You want to see what life is? That's life. The kid is dead when he is away from the father, doing his own thing in the far country and ending up recognizing the misery and bankruptcy of that way of living, right? Wine, women, song got him nowhere. But when he remembers home, he begins to realize, hey, it really wasn't bad there. In fact, it was great there. And he begins the journey home. And the father, of course, when he welcomes him, does it with this, you know, with an embrace, with the promise that there's more stuff to come. There's going to be a party. And then when the older son will not participate in the joy over the younger son, remember how the father goes to him and says, man, it was right for us to be glad. We had to be glad. Your brother was dead. And now he's alive again. He was lost and is found. What is eternal life? Eternal life is when you have been found by Jesus, brought to the Father and welcomed home into a home that will be your home forever, where you will be set free from everything that could ever fill your heart with fear or dread. Here is total forgiveness. Here is complete love. This is what this song celebrates in that first verse. It's just amazing. I mean, it's unpacking John 3:16, as you said, and we could stay in John 3:16 forever because all of the scripture, it all ties together right there.
Let's hear the first stanza of God loved the world so that he gave. God loved the world so that he gave his only son, the lost, to save, that all who would in him believe should everlasting life receive.
God loved the world.
Mr. Whedon, I like very much what you had to say before that stanza about the nature of everlasting life. It's not just about duration.
Mm-mm.
That it is, it's a different life. That's Christ's life. It's being found by Christ. But there is also the eternality of this life to be considered. And in my weak, sinful flesh, eternity sounds tedious.
Boring.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
You know, maybe
yeah.
The first 1,000 years, but then the boredom sets in.
I think that's absolutely one of the most honest observations I have ever heard. I think everybody thinks that way. And I think they think that way because we have sold them a bill of goods about what this eternal life is really going to be like. You know, one of the most fascinating little sections in Luther's treatment of the Lord's Prayer in the Large Catechism, he throws out this idea that there is daily growth in the kingdom there and now. Daily growth there. Stop and think about that. For a human to be perfectly human, to be perfectly the way God made you to be, is to realize there are no limits, no boundaries, no ends to coming to know and love him more. You know, once you've known him for the first 1,000 years, I mean, the term itself becomes useless. But, you know, when we would say, when you've been there a long, long, long time, you still only come to the little tiniest fraction of who he is. And the joy of discovering more and more of who he is will be the joy that delights us for all eternity. There is no end to him. There will be no end to the increase in blessedness and joy of the people that he's gathered to himself. Don't picture it as though, boom, you're perfect and you're going to be doing perfect things as though it's all done. No, it's perfect in the sense that there is no sin there, nothing that will hinder you from constantly growing into him. I mean, Jacobs, in his wonderful little book, The Elements of Religion, he's a great Lutheran teacher of the early 20th century, he did a beautiful job unpacking that and showing that the idea that we have that it's static is actually very, very damaging, I think, to people's desire to experience and be there.
When we come back from this break, we're going to continue our study of the hymn, God Loved the World So That He Gave, with the second stanza, Christ Jesus is the ground of faith, who was made flesh and suffered death. All then who trust in him alone are built on this chief cornerstone. Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. We're studying that hymn with him. He's director of worship and chaplain of the International Center for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Stay tuned. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Pilgrim Lutheran, Santa Monica, California. Emmanuel Lutheran, Terre Haute, Indiana. Trinity Lutheran, San Angelo, Texas. Trinity Lutheran and Emmanuel Lutheran, Holloway, Minnesota. St. John Lutheran, Schaumburg, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Pipestone, Minnesota. Real Lutheran Fellowship, Rochester, Minnesota. Living Word Lutheran Church, The Woodlands, Texas. St. James Lutheran, Logansport, Indiana. St. John's Lutheran, State Center, Iowa, and Trinity Lutheran, West Chicago, Illinois. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.
Casting Christ's net on the internet. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, is the Lutheran Federal Credit Union Ministry of the Month. During May, if you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs, or if you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to Concordia Theological Seminary. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Lutheran Federal Credit Union. LutheranFCU.org.
Christ Jesus is
Stanza 2 of the hymn, God Loved the World So That He Gave. We're studying that hymn this afternoon on Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. The second stanza speaks of Jesus Christ is the ground of faith. And I think we might consider that two ways, both as the ground of the content of the faith, but also of faith as simple trust. Christ is the source of that too, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, I think we need to think of ground like ground. In other words, faith needs something to rest on. Faith is not just, the faith that we're speaking of in this stanza is not just a sincere conviction about whatever, you know, that you've repeated over and over to yourself till you believe it. It's actually something that rests on a person. And that person is Christ Jesus. And the big thing about Christ Jesus that's listed out here for us was made flesh, John 1, right? And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and suffered death. Everything in John's gospel is pushing you towards, see, chapter 19 as the culmination where Jesus is crucified. This is what it was all for. This is the moment of his glorification. He's the ground then on which faith can actually stand. Your faith has a solid rock to stand on. You know, someone who's saying that, around Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. But he is a solid rock on which to stand, to build a life on. He's the image that Jesus himself uses at the end of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5. So the eternal Son, he is the one who takes on flesh. And if you stop and think about it, flesh and death don't sound to you or to me to be the kind of stuff that's solid, that you want to build anything on. It's like, wait a minute. I mean, the thing about flesh is that people kill it. It dies. And, you know, death itself, that's something you can build something on? Yeah. When it is this man's flesh and this man's death. His death enables him to become, this is the language at the end, all who trust in him alone are built on this chief cornerstone. And it doesn't take much working through the Old Testament to start realizing this whole building image is massive. I think the primary reference here is first to Psalm 118, right? This beautiful psalm, this is the day the Lord has acted, has made, let us rejoice and be glad in it. And the stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Remember, the Lord lifts this up in his arguments with the Pharisees, and like, how can you guys not see this? This is what it's all about. It's become the stone. The builders rejected, the leaders of his day wanted nothing to do with him, and yet this was the very way that God was at work to build himself a temple, a house for his own dwelling, which would have Christ be the thing that's joining it all together into unity. In Psalm 118, remember, after these words about the builders rejecting it, we have right away, bind the festal sacrifice with cords up to the horns of the altar. All this as the cry of Hosanna, save us now, is ringing out. This is exactly what he answers the prayer to save us by becoming this unbelievably weak flesh that will die. And in that death, provide a grounding where faith will be forever secure, where it will never be shaken, because here is where he will bear the sin of all, and here is where he will literally enter into death to destroy it from the inside out. He thus becomes the head of the corner. And both Peter and Paul, Peter, of course, who is named Rocky, right? He has to pick, he is going to play with this theme. Jesus gave him that name. So in chapter 2 of his epistle, he speaks about what it is to be built into him. Listen to these words. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, Psalm 118, right? But in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. And the Septuagint there of Isaiah joins together this idea of the stone and faith. When you build on the stone, the thing that will happen to you is you will never be put to shame. Believing in him, you have something that will actually see you through the very worst that life or death can ever bring to you. You will have a solid place to stand. Paul uses the same image. You know, he does it in Ephesians. He does it also in 1 Corinthians 3. So it's like a piece throughout the New Testament that Jesus is the ground on which our faith rests, and he is the one who is the one we're fitted into to be built into a temple for God, which is the purpose for which we were made in the beginning. It's just a beautiful, beautiful image.
Here is stanza 3. God would not have the sinner die. His Son with saving grace is nigh. His Spirit in the Word declares how we in Christ are heaven's heirs.
God would not have the sinner die. His Son with saving grace is nigh. His Spirit
That stanza 3 of God Loved the World So That He Gave. Pastor Whedon, here we have the Trinity for the first time, but not the last time in this.
Nope. Yeah. And the Trinity at work in giving. It's just the very nature that he unveils for himself. He starts out with this declaration that God would not have the sinner die. This is one of the most precious promises of God's word that we should hold to. You can't help but think of how he would speak through Ezekiel. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn back from your evil ways. Why will you die, O house of Israel? I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. I think that was, when you step back into the time of the exile, it's really important to hear that and realize, oh my goodness, even though this harsh and terrifying judgment has befallen the people, God is still crying out to them, I don't want you to die. I don't want you to be separated from me. John 3 makes it absolutely clear, the Son is not sent into the world to condemn the world. He is sent so that the world might be saved through him. And so, you know, in the one-year series on Rogate Sunday, you have an epistle that says, from 1 Timothy 2, Paul saying, God wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Peter says, and he's not willing that any should perish. So what's the truth that we need to come to? Well, it's the truth that Jesus is the Son whom God gave with the promise that anyone who believes in him is not going to be lost, is not going to perish, but will have and eternal life. Jesus is the ransom that was given at just the right time to declare and show this and provide this for us. Also, the line about his Son with saving grace is nigh, his Spirit in the Word declares how we in Christ are heaven's heirs. That's a little bit of a liberty. I think the original was closer in the older version. We had the Spirit and the Word doth teach how we the blessed goal may reach. But either way, the point is the Father gives the Son and the Son gives the Spirit who speaks in the Word to us about the Son in order to bring us as heirs to the Father, giving us everything that is his. The Word has instruction for you. The Son is present in that Word always with his saving grace and with the gift of the Spirit. And the big phrase here that really needs to be pondered is this, in Christ, how we in Christ are heaven's heirs. I did a Bible study on this several years back, but it was just, it gets out of hand. When you start to do a Bible study of what's in Christ in the New Testament, just go through and start looking at what's inside of Jesus, what's in Christ. And the gift is huge. Do you remember that glorious scene in the last battle where by C.S. Lewis? There they are in front of the stable, and the stable is kind of dingy, and the world is falling apart outside. But inside the stable, there's like bigger worlds inside the stable. And Lucy makes this very perceptive comment. She goes, oh, once in our world too, there was a stable that held more inside than all the world outside. Well, that picture is really how it is in Christ. In Christ, you tumble through the looking glass into a world where the love is beyond all measure. It's deeper than any deep you could ever imagine. It soars higher than any height you could ever go. It's broader than any border you could ever imagine. And so in Christ, all that's his is forked over to you. It's all his. In him, all of it now is yours. So do you see why then the baptism is such a big deal? If the thing about baptism is it puts you in Christ, it's putting you where all that stuff that God has for you is, where there's this world bigger and a love bigger than anything you could ever dream or imagine. I mean, I use the phrases repeatedly because I don't know how else to get at it, but in him, there is forgiveness bigger than all your sin, all the world's sin. And in him, there is more life than you will ever, ever find of death in yourself or in this world. I mean, it's swallowed up like a minuscule drop of oil on the ocean. That's how it is in him. Paul was convinced in Jesus the gift was so outsized. So in Christ, heaven's heirs. Big, big biblical language there.
We're studying the hymn, God Loved the World So That He Gave. Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. He's author of the book Celebrating the Saints and Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, Recover the Joys of Piety, both of which you will find links to at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand or call Concordia Publishing House. They'd be happy to send you both of these great books by Pastor Will Wheaton, Celebrating the Saints and Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, Recover the Joys of Piety. Their number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. When we come back, this stanza 4, be of good cheer, for God's own Son forgives all sins which you have done and justified by Jesus' blood. Your baptism grants the highest good. When we come back, we'll be hearing that stanza and talking about it with Pastor Will Wheaton.
Children are a gift from God, a rich heritage, a precious trust. They are sinners, baptized saints, little brothers and sisters in Christ. It is this beautiful vision that shapes our daily work as parents and grandparents, teachers, pastors, mentors, and friends. And it's this vision you'll see shining through every article in this month's Lutheran Witness magazine, The Gift of Children. Subscribe today at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Would you like to help a college or seminary student attend the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference? You can purchase a conference scholarship for a contribution of $120 to Issues Etc. You can donate online at issuesetc.org/scholarship, or you can make your $120 check payable to Issues Etc., write scholarship in the memo line, and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, glories of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth.
At Advent Lutheran Church in Zionsville, Indiana, God's Word and sacraments work to forgive sinners through the gospel of Jesus Christ. We invite you to join the rich heritage of traditional liturgy in our Sunday morning worship.
You can find us online at adventlutheran.org.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans and their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. lcms.org/armedforces.
Solid, serious, substantive. You're listening to Issues Etc.
How was school today, kids? Crazy! Hector's charioteer got hit by a stone, and his eyes fell out into the dust before him there at his feet.
Hmm. Sounds like Patroclus was being hot-tempered, rude, and quarrelsome again.
He always is. Dad, what's for supper?
I don't know yet. Supper is such a problem.
If it's a problem, you can use the scientific method to figure it out.
Problem? We want supper. Hypothesis? I think Dad will make tacos.
Actually, I was thinking about spaghetti.
Tacos or spaghetti?
False dichotomy.
Is this the after-school conversation of your dreams? Registration is now open for the 2018-19 school year at St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois, the only classical Lutheran school in the St. Louis area.
Hey, Dad, how did my violin practice sound?
Kiddo, it sounded epic.
Learn more at school.stpaulhamel.org. School.stpaulhamel.org.
That's stanza four of the hymn that we're studying with Pastor Will Whedon, God Loved the World So That He Gave. Pastor Whedon, the word justified appears in there, and I think that's why in the latest iteration, this goes from the Trinity section of the hymnal to the justification section of the hymnal. But that's really the topic of this entire hymn, isn't it?
Yeah, especially when we hear that in its widest sense of what he's up to when he says he is justifying us. Let's back up though and think about the beginning. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. One of my favorite Christmas carols that does not make it into our hymnal is "God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen, Let Nothing Ye Dismay." tidings of comfort and joy. There is tidings of comfort and joy in the gift of God's Son, and there is no cheer that comes close to the cheer of the Son of God forgiving all the sins which you have done. And that's a pretty bold claim. Before we actually unpack it, we probably should listen to what he says in Scripture. So the one speaking here is the one you hear at Isaiah 43, verse 25. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. In Jesus, then, there is this absolute full forgiveness. Paul would say in Ephesians, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross in Colossians chapter 2. And you just got to take to heart that he has forgiven us all our trespasses. He doesn't forgive you some of them. He doesn't do it piecemeal. In Christ, God's Son, he forgives you absolutely all that you have done, that you have failed to do, that you've thought about doing and didn't do, but that you wanted to do. All of it forgiven in him, nailed to the cross. And that's what leads him to the "and justified by Jesus' blood, your baptism grants the highest good." When you hear the blood, you can't help but think of two passages. You think of how Paul would say in Romans 3, all have sinned, and we've all fallen short of the glory of God, and we are all justified by his grace through the gift, through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation, a wiping out of sin by his blood to be received by faith. And you know, two chapters later in Romans 5:9, Paul says, since we have now been justified, been declared not guilty, been declared his by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. And it begs a question too. The blood of Jesus gives us this through baptism. What's the connection between the blood of Jesus and baptism? And what is this highest good? Your baptism grants the highest good. I think Titus 3 helps us there, that he saved us by, this is a translation, an American translation. I love how they did this. He saved us by the washing in which he gave us a new birth and a new life. That is by baptism. The highest good of baptism is that it's the way God gives you forgiveness for all your sins, which the blood of Christ won for you. It's how he pulls you into his family, makes you his heir, gives you his spirit, and promises that he will be faithful to you forever. Come hell or high water, come whatever, he will be yours and you will be his. He has given you this life. Death can never steal away from you. All in Jesus, all given in baptism, all won by his blood. This is the highest good.
Here's stanza 5. If you are sick, if death is near, this truth your troubled heart can cheer. Christ Jesus saves your soul from death. That is the firmest ground of faith.
If you are sick, if death is near, this truth your troubled heart can cheer. Christ Jesus saves your soul from death. That is the firmest ground of faith.
What would you say about this fifth stanza, Pastor Whedon?
I think this is actually the stanza that's at the heart of the application of justification. Let me explain what I mean. There are many churches who actually they teach correctly on justification. As far, if you ask them to say, can you set forth for me the doctrine of justification? And they'll nail it. But what they don't know is what to do with it. How do you use this teaching in the way God gave it and intended to be used, as a comfort in trouble? And so this stanza picks up with, okay, if you're sick, your body is failing, if death is near in you or in someone that you love, here's a truth, something from God that's absolutely true, that can cheer your troubled heart. It will bring to you a peace, even in the midst of the turmoil. And this is the promise. Jesus Christ saves your soul from death. And soul here meaning your whole body, all of you. He saves you from death. That's the firmest ground of faith. Christ Jesus saves. He saves. You remember how in 1 Timothy, Paul said, this is a trustworthy saying, you can rely on it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. So this is huge, because when you are going through a time where your body is failing, or where someone that you love is dying, you have that horrible voice whispering in your head, where is God? Doesn't he love me? Doesn't he care? Doesn't he care about them? How is he letting this happen? Why? Is it because I've sinned? Remember when the widow of Zarephath says to Elijah, did you come to me, man of God, to call my sin to mind and kill my son? That's how our guilty conscience thinks in the face of death. But this wonderful thing that we're seeing in this hymn, this truth is, oh, no. No way, no how. The one who forgave you all your sins with his blood, he is not abandoning you to the grave. No, he's not going to forget you. He's made you his own. And this hymn, or riffing out of the Gospel of John, you can't help but hear all the promises come rolling out. You know, his promise to you is, an hour is coming when all those who are in the tomb, they are going to hear my voice and they will come out. His promise to you is, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and I give them eternal life and they will never perish and no one is going to snatch them out of my hand. Think about how the martyrs comfort themselves with those kind of words going into death. His promise to you is, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. You're not going to be forgotten, John 6. You're not going to be forgotten. He will raise you up. Putting the body and blood into you is his pledge to you. You are mine. Your sins are gone. I will defeat, as death has been defeated in me, I will defeat it in you. And so that most glorious climaxing promise, I'm the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me, never going to die. John 11, the raising of Lazarus. So his promise to you is, you have nothing to let your hearts be troubled about. Trust in God. Trust in me. My Father's house got tons of room, and I'm going there to make a place for you. And I'm going to come and take you back, that you may be with me where I am. That is an awful lot of comfort to meet the failing of our flesh and the failing of the flesh of those we love. To remember that it was by his own suffering of death that he destroyed death, and it was by his resurrection that he brought life and immortality to light by the gospel.
When we come back, we will look at the sixth and final stanza of the hymn, God Loved the World So That He Gave, and we'll hear the entire hymn and get Pastor Will Wheaton's final thoughts. Glory to God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three in one. To you, O blessed Trinity, be praise now and eternally. That stanza right after this.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the language of medicine and law today. Visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.
40 years greatly blessed is this year's theme at Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois. We engage young adults in a Christ-centered environment and provide an alternative to secular public high schools. Please help us provide tuition assistance to more students by making a special 40th anniversary tax-deductible gift at melhs.org and click on the giving page, or call me, Dr. Jay Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
Keeping the message straight. Getting the message out. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. regular guest Pastor Jonathan Fisk is the author of our book of the month for May, Echo, Unbroken Truth Worth Repeating Again. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Echo by calling Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040, 800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. book of the month for May, Echo, Unbroken Truth Worth Repeating Again, by Pastor Jonathan Fisk.
LCMS Rural and Small Town Mission exists to support and encourage congregations in rural and small town settings. In partnership with LCMS districts, RSTM is uniquely positioned to make a major impact in revitalization support, community engagement and outreach training, congregational partnership development, and worker support through providing and developing resources geared specifically to rural and small town congregations. Check us out at lcms.org/RSTM. Or give us a call at our office. We're here to help.
Final stanza of the hymn, God Loved the World So That He Gave. Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. Pastor Wheaton, what are your thoughts on this doxology that ends the hymn?
Yeah, I don't think it's just a pro forma thing that at the end of the hymn we have the doxology. In the face of all this giving from Father, Son. It's the Father sending the Son sending the Spirit grabbing hold of us and bringing us to the Son in faith that we might have a ground of faith to stand upon. As we stand before the Father, we are going to fall down before this glorious Trinity and adoration and praise. It always ends in worship and praise before such a giver, God. Like Paul said at the end of Romans 11, from him, through him, to him, all things, to him be the glory forever. Amen.
Let's hear the entire hymn, God Loved the World So That He Gave.
God loved the world.
That's the Lutheran Public Radio Choir with the hymn, God Loved the World So That He Gave. Will, with about 1 minute, your final thoughts on this hymn.
Bede the Venerable is the day we remember him in the church, and spent his life teaching the Bible. And at the end, he was working on a rhyme paraphrase of John's Gospel. And when he finished up the last little bit, he sank down to his knees and he could have been singing the last stanza there. Glory to God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three in one. To you, O blessed Trinity, be praise now and eternity. He literally did the Gloria Patri and then died. Died in the praise of God, proclaiming the great things and the comfort that he had from John's Gospel, especially John 3:16, the gift of the Son.
Pastor Will Whedon is Director of Worship and Chaplain of the International Center for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He is host of the radio show called Thy Strong Word and author of the books Celebrating the Saints and Thank, Pray, Serve, and Obey, Recover the Joys of Piety. Will, thanks for your time.
Thank you so much, Todd.
Pastor Whedon will be making the case for godliness, leading a hymn sing, and signing his books at next month's Issues Etc. Making the Case conference. You still have time to register online at issuesetc.org or by calling 618-223-8385. Registration is $120. That includes three meals. Thanks to the Lutheran Church Extension Fund, childcare is free. The 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case conference, Friday, June 8th and Saturday, June 9th in Collinsville, Illinois. Issuesetc.org or 618-223-8385. The words are so famous now, they just roll off the tongue. God loved the world so that he gave. John 3:16, Jesus is there telling us not only that God loves the world, but how God loves the world and how you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God loves you. He gave his son, Jesus Christ, into death for you. If you are ever in doubt as to whether or not God loves you, if life is hard or God seems far away or you seem far away from God, remember, he gave his son into death for you on the cross. That is how he loves you. In the next hour, we'll continue our series on the Athanasian Creed with Pastor Will Whedon. We'll talk about the work of Christ. I'm Todd Wilkin. More Issues Etc. after the break.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Repentance and forgiveness, sin and grace, law and gospel. More than cliches, real preaching for real people in need of hearing the real Christ. Christ for you and the divine service at St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, Illinois, where we gather every Saturday night at 6 and on the Lord's Day, Sunday mornings at 7:45 and 10. Look for the Church of the Neon Cross on I-55 between exits 30 and 33. Find us on the web, stpaullutheranchurchhamel.org. St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, where there is the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation for the people of God.
Hey Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size. And the dirt.
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority. They've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.